flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back into the final hour of Sports Talk here at the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row. Powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso, we're celebrating the big game week here in New Orleans. And man, oh man, Sunday can't get here quick enough between the Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City Chiefs. Another NFL season in the books. It is sad, though, to have one last football game to watch, Mike.
Yeah, it really does. Because, man, the next one is so far down.
And right, then we're just jonesing for preseason football.
And all of a sudden, the season's over.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about, you know, just how quickly all that passes. Same thing like in college football. Man, you all geared up for the college football season. In the blink of an eye, it's gone.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, it passes very quickly. And you understand, you know, you graded on those 17 games and what is 12, 13, 14, 15 games, however many you want to play now because of the playoff system that's in place now. But, man, it does pass quickly. But like I told you yesterday, we'll have a much more eventful offseason than in-season because of all the changes coaching-wise, I think player-wise. New coach comes in, he's going to take that broom, and he's going to sweep out a lot.
Sure.
And the big thing is, how much are they willing to, say, cut bait on some of the older players and get rid of them maybe a year quicker than you might think?
Yeah, because I know the big questions are obviously a guy like a Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Tyron Matthew, right?
And at the quarterback spot. You know, because that's going to be the big, I think, question of, because, I mean, come on, Kellen Moore, he's going to be the politically correct and tell you, you know, oh, yeah, you know, I really think we can win with Derek Carr at quarterback. What do you want him to say? You know, people on social media, who is he watching? What do you want him to say if he's in that spot? He's not going to tell you the truth.
Due to the financials, though, I do feel like we are going to have another year of Derek Carr in black and gold.
We'll see.
Unless, he stomps his foot down like a la Sean Payton and says, I can't work with this guy.
Yeah, or say, hey, look, let's cut bait now, knowing next year he's not going to be here anyway.
Right.
He's not going to be here, and we're going to have to go in a different direction. Do you go with the younger quarterback here? Do you go with a Spencer Rattler and see what you have in him? I've seen enough of Jake Haener. He's not starting nowhere in the National Football League.
Right.
And Spencer's got a shot here. And then go find yourself another quarterback. And, that was the roll of the dice when this season started. I know we talked about it numerous times. This team went into the season, and if something happened to Derek Carr, you got two quarterbacks that had much experience, so to speak, behind the center position.
Right.
At the pro level.
Looking at from pro football to college football, the second national signing day period was today, and it was pretty uneventful. No real big booms for the Tigers today.
Man, you think about that at one time. Man, we were doing these shows. It was the LSU Bash out in Baton Rouge.
Sure.
It had the Golden Girls and the Tiger Band. You know, and the coaches would come out if it was Coach Miles or Coach O. you know, they come out and talk about the players, you know, on the air with us. And
it's not just as sexy anymore.
And until they sign that deal, you know, your commitment ain't with the piece of paper it's written on, so to speak. Because you think, man, LSU just lost one of the defensive linemen. They got a commitment from him in January. He didn't already decommitted. You know, he's out of there. So a lot of times these commitment stuff, you take it with a grain of salt until you get them to sign. And it's a commuter world of college athletics today, not just football, but athletics in general. It is very much a commuter world. And the second signing period, you know, for a McNeese or Nicholls State or Southeastern, it's still a huge day for them because a lot of times they don't sign a lot of guys early. Today is the day that they make that big haul. But, man, for LSU or Tulane, it's, you know, it's a real short list, to say the least.
Brian Kelly did address the media today. Let's hear what the Tigers head coach had to say in his opening statement to the press.
Today, this press conference was called to talk about our transfer portal class, some changes we made within our organization. But I would be remiss if I did not address Greg Brooks, Junior, and the situation that unfolded in a interview that was done on Good Morning America. There's many things I can't say because it is pending litigation, obviously, but here's what I can tell you. It is factually incorrect to state that I was not there by Greg's side through this ordeal. I was there on multiple occasions. We had somebody from my staff that was there virtually every single day. We love Greg. We love him for the person that he is, for the competitor that he is, and the battler that he is, and can only wish him continued progress as he goes through an incredibly difficult time. But it was important for me to set the record clear as to my care, my love for Greg Jr. during this very difficult time. And again, I want to be clear that any player that is part of this program, I am going to be involved in making sure that they receive the best care, the best support, and I'm part of that. So that was just extremely important for me to talk about. Look, you can question me as a football coach. You can question me in terms of the things that we do on the field, but off the field, as a parent, as a husband, as somebody that is actively involved in every community that I've been involved with, this is where the line is drawn with me. And that comment struck a nerve with me. It hit my heart because that's not why I'm in this business. I've been in it for our players, will always be in it for our players, and it rattled me that somebody could possibly be so factually incorrect in stating that I was not part of Greg Brooks Jr.'s care and support. And the support was the entire university, the entire community. So I needed to make sure that that record was clear. All right. We've put together, you know, kind of some talking points. You know, obviously we don't have a high school player that will sign today. All of our high school players signed in the December signing period. And at that time, we were able to talk about them individually, ask and answer questions about them. We have 15 of them here that are in our off-season program. We're excited about them, but we also supplemented that with a transfer portal class that by many publications felt it was an elite group. And we had 16 total transfers come in, 8 on offense, 7 on defense, and 1 special teams player. And we're pretty excited about that. They give us a experienced group that has played high-level football and blends to the existing program that we have. So from that perspective, combined with 3 straight top 10 high school signing classes, we wanted now to enter into adding to that roster. And I think we addressed it. And we believe that this group now is such that we can compete for a championship. I think when we talk about some other things, we're very appreciative of our fans and the generosity. The $1 million match that I put out there relative to NIL, it looks like we've met our goals, and I couldn't be more excited about that and the direction that allows us to continue to move relative to NIL. So we had an anonymous gift that matched it in its totality, plus I think there'll be a release here in the next 48 hours that we also were able to match the initial NIL. So that's pretty exciting. We shifted, as I mentioned, we shifted some duties around within our support staff. I'll be able to talk about a few of those. And I think it's suffice to say that we've got some change, but some continuity, which I like the blending of both as it relates to our support staff. And then, finally, we take this group now and are excited about what spring ball looks like for us. So that's kind of the overall tenor. It's unfortunate that we had to lead in the manner that I did, but I thought, again, it was absolutely crucial to address when my integrity and character is being attacked. I need to respond. And again, if it was football related, if it was about play calling or selection of recruits, that's open for anyone. But when it comes to the care and the love for one of my former players, I needed to set the record straight.
That was head coach Brian Kelly of the LSU Tigers, and definitely an awkward story there, and something that Brian Kelly wanted to address right away with dealing with Greg Brooks.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy kind of turn across the board. And I know, man, it was a major situation with Greg, and there is some legalities involved here. Surgery, care afterwards, everything else. But, man, that finger pointed straight in that direction toward Brian Kelly. You could tell that got underneath his skin really good. Now again, we'll find out all the details of it. But,
right.
Man, you think about Greg. He was a terrific player. And I got to know him a little bit. And, he gave you what he had out on the field. He really did. And he was a leader. And I have to go through that sort of situation medically, but this is some serious accusations here levied upon Brian Kelly.
This is from the family.
And this is basically coming from
not necessarily Greg himself, but the family of Greg Books.
Yeah. So definitely an awkward situation.
Very much so, Steve.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, Mike, we'll get into more of all LSU talk with Wilson Alexander of The Advocate and NOLA.com. So taking a break here on Sports Talk here at the Media Row in the Memorial Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith & Soso. Be right back after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Before we get into our guest, Wilson Alexander, talking LSU football, we got some basketball news. Ding, 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 ding. The trade deadline in full effect. This has been a wild one, gentlemen. The Miami Heat finalizing a deal to send Jimmy Butler to the Golden State Warriors for Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, and a protected first-round pick. And Jimmy Butler reportedly getting a new two-year $121 million extension with the franchise through 26-27. Wild deadline, gentlemen. This has been a fun one for sure. We'll see because if any more action comes the Pelicans' way.
We had heard rumors that he did not want to go to the Warriors without a new deal.
Right.
And then, bang, the new deal comes about with Jimmy Butler. My question is, how much basketball gas does Jimmy Butler have left in the tank?
I don't know. I think that tank's near empty, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, we'll see with that. And sometimes it's the right fit, and
sure,
sometimes guys do things for short term. You know, with Warriors doing this for a short term situation. But, man, Jimmy Butler, you know, he did things kind of weird toward the end to get out. But did you ever question him as a competitor before all this?
Right.
But, man, nobody questioned him. He gave it to you out on the court.
Well, from Jimmy Butler, we're going to go to the Bayou Bengals, our guest in the virtual Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat. Wilson Alexander, covering the LSU Tigers for The Advocate and Times-Picayune. Wilson, appreciate your time. How you been doing, man?
We're doing all right. How are you guys tonight?
Great, Wilson. Great to hear your voice again. And, man, I keep up with everything through your father-in-law. And so our prayers and thoughts are still with you and your wife. And you guys got some good news in recent weeks. And so still thinking about you. And God bless, brother.
Thank you for that, Mike. She's a fighter, man, and she keeps pushing. I appreciate you and the support with the family and everything like that. Thanks so much.
Wilson, in this recruiting class, I think the story is really the transfer guys. Not so much the high school recruits, but it was for a coach who a couple years back got in front of that podium and said, we're not going to build this team through transfer portal. We might get a guy here and there, but we're not going to go full-fledged into that. Boy, did he make a reversal of fortune. And he had to. You had to understand that this world is not going to change for you. You better change for it. And I think at this point, the story is the impact, the potential impact of these transfer portal guys they got through. And, man, it was a big haul for the Tigers. And I still think if you're looking at maybe something else, maybe in the spring, maybe another safety, certainly another tackle. I think that's something that they're going to have to look at. But, man, it was a big haul for Brian Kelly and company.
As you said, they never wanted to build through the transfer portal, and they still don't. Brian Kelly even said that today. He still wants to build through the high school rankings. But when your roster has not been built well through the high school rankings over a couple of classes, this is kind of the spot you find yourself in.
Yep.
LSU, a lot of that 2023 class, the first full cycle under Brian Kelly, a lot of those players are gone now or not expected to be major contributors. So they needed to go, and that was supposed to be your junior class, traditionally the backbone of your team. They needed to go and find experience, and they've done that in pretty much every single spot that they added that transfer. They added somebody who's played a good bit of college football already to kind of supplement those losses that they've had or just guys not panning out or some kinds of recruiting misses. And now you're looking at the number one class in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. Also, same outlet, they released some rankings yesterday, the top 100 transfer players in the country who are available in the winter cycle. LSU signed seven of them, most in the SEC. And so this is a team that is, yes, definitely going to be built a lot through this transfer class. That is the main storyline now going into this 2025 season. Brian Kelly said they wanted to be aggressive in the transfer portal, more so than they really ever had been, both in the number of players they were going to sign and the amount of money they were going to spend. And they have done that. They've done just that. Now it's going to be a really interesting sort of test. Can they become really the first college football national champion that's really built through the portal this way. I mean, Michigan retained a lot of players. Ohio State had some big portal gets, but they had also spent a lot of their money to retain players. LSU has got a lot of new faces on both sides of the ball, and especially on defense.
Wilson, one of the things, and I know from coaching, from talking to Coach Pete Jenkins and Coach Davis and Coach Peoples, is that they needed to get talent and depth across the defensive line. They had not done especially well in the high school ranks recruiting from a number standpoint. Now all of a sudden you're starting to see a little bit of a blend. We saw some really good young talent emerge late in the year because you had to play them. And you saw some young talent there actually get playing time, and some of them extensive playing time. And then you go into the portal, you grab you a couple of edge guys, you got you a couple of guys in the middle, and another recruiting class. So all of a sudden now, what was an obvious weakness, now it might be just for 1 year, it may actually be the strength of your team on defense. Isn't that crazy? Because last year at this time, we couldn't have said that along the defensive line. But yet in that 1 year time frame, because of the young kids playing late in the year and the transfer portal and another recruiting class, that defensive line class, man, Bo Davis and Kevin's got something to deal with now.
There's questions still, which we'll get to in a second, but there is potential there. And as you said, I think, you know, there's something to work with there. On the edges, you got brought in. You had to go and get edge rushers and premier edge rushers because of what, you know, just Savion Jones and Braden Swinson were out of eligibility. They were done. And Deshaun Womack enters the portal. The only guy coming back who really played significant snaps for you on the edge was Gabe Relaford. And so you really needed to go and get guys there, and they've done that. Now they got to continue to develop those players now. I mean, Patrick Payton showed what he can be a couple seasons ago. Wasn't quite as productive this last year. You've got to get the most out of him. Can he be a true replacement for Braden Swinson and maybe even exceed what Braden Swinson did last year, which was only put up more than 8 sacks on the year. It was a really solid season. And Jack Pyburn, a guy who's really, I think, improves you as a edge run defender, helps you a lot in that way, but can he be a little bit more than that in terms of a pass rusher? And then same thing kind of with Jamari Butler coming from Nebraska. Like, you got to just continue to develop all these guys. And then on the interior, you know, you haven't really added a lot. You added Sidir Mitchell, but he hasn't played very much at Texas. So you're really counting on those young guys that you mentioned playing at the end of last year, Ahmad Bro and Dominic McKinley. Now, Bo Davis, you got to just see the work that Bo Davis can do with them, get his hands on them for another full offseason. Especially, I mean, McKinley wasn't even an early enrollee. What can he become with a full offseason? You know, then you got Jacobian Guillory coming back. We'll see when he can get on the field after that Achilles. You've got a lot of freshmen who you've signed, I think 4 defensive line tackle freshmen, some of whom might be able to contribute early. We'll see kind of how that shakes out. I would still argue the linebackers, the strength of your defense going into next year, but you definitely have some pieces up front for these coaches to work with.
Last year, this time, if I'd have told you the breakout guy on defense is going to be Braden Swinson, what would you have told me?
I probably wouldn't have believed you. He'd done some
at
good
least
things
you honest.
Before, but not
you
enough, honest. Not enough to believe he was going to have 8-plus sacks.
and so it goes to show you, when I was talking to Coach Jenkins about this, he was like, Mike, you know, he showed flashes, but he wasn't consistent. But it was every week we saw it from Braden. His breakout moments out on that football field, and you could see other teams understood, hey, one-on-one, we're not going to be able to take care of him. We're going to need a chip here and there. Braden Swinson was really, really the one guy you looked at on defense and say, how in the hell did that guy make so many plays when he was a non-factor a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, he had a great season, and good for Braden for doing so. Maybe you can kind of get him into a spot to get drafted. When you really didn't know if he was going to be coming into the year, I mean, you probably would have a better read on this than I would, but I would think that he probably gets picked at some point.
Yep.
I mean, he was a productive edge rusher in the SEC, and yeah, he was one of LSU's top defensive playmakers along with Whit Weeks, and now LSU's got to find a way to replace that with, I would say, Payton and Pyburn and Butler and Relaford and Harold Perkins. You know, how are they going to use him off the edge in any way? You know, that's another dynamic edge rusher potential. That he's coming back to your team next year too.
You lost so much talent at wide receiver, and
You know, you hear all this stupidity about next man up to replace a Malik Nabers and a Brian Thomas Jr. And my deal is, come on, guys. You know, that's not going to happen. You're not going to automatically click your heels and you're going to get a guy that's as good as Malik or Brian Thomas Jr. And, you know, we didn't know about Chris Hilton and in the injuries, but late he came across really well. I thought Kyron Lacy was solid throughout the season, but it was the lack of the big play element. And you saw once Hilton got healthy and he got refocused what he could bring to the lineup. But it's what this team did in the transfer portal. They go out and get themselves a couple guys that can really stretch the field. And, you know, with Nick, you know, you think about it, Anderson, that freshman year, he was a terrific player for Oklahoma. And what you got, that young man from Kentucky, man, is he fast, and he is a game breaker. All of a sudden now, that receiving core has got some dudes in it. It's not potential guys. These are guys that have done it at the highest level.
When LSU started looking at the transfer portal and what it needed to address, wide receiver was one of the very top things. I mean, it was that in some spots. The offensive line was also tight end. But, like, I mean, wide receiver was so necessary because it understood that it needed to surround Garrett Nussmeier with weapons. And they seem to have gone and done that. I mean, especially if Nick Anderson can stay healthy, which he wasn't able to do last year at Oklahoma. Like you said, that's a guy who had 10 touchdowns. He's 6 foot as a freshman in 2023. He's 6 foot four. He was a highly thought of, you know, recruit coming out of high school. I mean, like, he can play. He showed it 2 years ago. And he brings you, I mean, a guy with so much size. And then Brown, as you said, so fast. The way he can move in space is really impressive. And if he can now play, you know, his stats aren't going to blow you away from Kentucky, but he wasn't playing the last 2 years with a quarterback even close to Garrett Nussmeier's level. The best he had was when he was a freshman with Will Levis. And so you've got those two guys coming in who are likely starters. You bring back Aaron Anderson, a guy who led your team in receiving by the end of the year, who had a breakout season. You've got, as you said, Chris Hilton, who, if he's able to finally stay healthy, knock on wood, because that's just been always the thing with him, then you saw what can happen when he stretches the field. And that's going to be the big thing for LSU, like you said, it's the big playability. I mean, Garrett Nussmeier's yards per attempt weren't super impressive. They kept having to check things down. Teams could just kind of squat on the routes that they were running, and they just didn't have anybody who scared a defense, I don't think, that much down the field vertically. But if you're able to start doing that, you help open up things for the run game. Garrett's got the arm strength to hit those throws. Then you start to talk about a really explosive offense, and a lot of it could be through that wide receiver room if they're able to meet the potential that they have.
The center position, that was something I know you and I talked about in the summer. It was something to watch. It's not an easy position to play. And DJ did his best, but, man, you saw a lot of mental breakdowns, a lot of things not right, a lot of calls sorely getting missed in obvious blitz situations. And now you go out and you get an experienced center from Virginia Tech. And I think out of all these signees, that guy, he may be the most important. Because to me, and, you know, I say this about the pro center too, but I think the same way in the college level, other than quarterback, it's the most difficult position to master. Not only you got to know what to do, and you got to get the snap right, not 50%, not 80%, not 90%, 100% of the time right, and you have to make the calls to the other guys. You are the orchestra leader to the two guards, two tackles. If you got an inline tight end, you got to make those calls. That, to me, was critical to bring in more from Virginia Tech.
It certainly was. And a guy who, I mean, LSU can probably not go through this, certainly in the spring, and you probably want to get it figured out maybe in the spring or at least have a good idea of what you're going to do. But you could also take this into preseason camp if you wanted to. You can let some competition happen there too.
Yep.
Right, if you can have more, you can have Chester, kind of even Cohen Eccles, who was kind of your backup center this past year, a freshman who they thought of really highly in the bowl prep, stood out because of his physicality. You know, that's, and he ends up rotating in the bowl game a little bit at guard. Like, you can give all those guys reps and see kind of where things fit, because there's so much change happening on the offensive line that Brad Davis, a coach who has often wanted to cross train players, is going to be able to experiment quite a bit in the spring in particular, I think. And so you'll see more there. You'll probably still see Chester there, again, maybe even Eccles, and kind of figure it out and see who plays there the best. Because because Braylon Moore has played both center and guard, he could fit at either spot. But again, yeah, he's somebody who comes in and probably raises your floor at center. And then if you can slide over DJ Chester to guard, maybe he's better suited to play that position. And
so I really think that's
the spot for him. We'll see if that's how it shakes out. Yeah,
I think we'll see that's the spot for him. And bringing in, you know, Lance Guidry, man, Lance and I go back a long time. I saw him, man, actually play. He was a defensive back at McNeese. So Lance knows the area really well, and he's always been basically a secondary coach. That's his expertise in working with the corners and safeties. And then you bring in Coach Atkins from Florida State, who always is known as a really good recruiter. And they do run the football pretty well at Florida State. Now, last year was a disaster from start to finish with them, but I think those are two major hires for LSU to bring those two guys in. And then yesterday, Tim Rattay. Another guy, you know, I scouted him back when he was at Louisiana Tech playing quarterback. And so I know it's been a few years. And, you know, you can see kind of the buildup here of a lot of Louisiana flavor, a lot of connect the dots in the state, but also targeting certain positions that you feel as though you need to get better at. Offensive line, quarterback, and also development of quarterback, and in the secondary.
Starting with the analysts that you mentioned, Rattay and Guidry, I mean, Rattay is kind of a straight-up replacement for Todd Fitch, who left to be the offensive coordinator at Charlotte. But again, a guy who, like you said, was so prolific at Louisiana Tech, goes on to have an NFL career, and then has been a quarterback's coach most recently at Oklahoma State. He also overlapped with Joe Sloan for a long time at Louisiana Tech. There's a connection, and it made a lot of sense after he was dismissed at Oklahoma State along with pretty much everybody else on their staff for him to come over here and be your sort of quarterback's analyst. And then with Guidry, yeah, I mean, he can come in and help you in the secondary, and a guy who also has seen a lot of football and who has coordinated a defense for the past years at Miami. And maybe it wasn't great at their times, but he's at least, he has a ton of expertise and sort of brings a new perspective and just another set of eyes to things, and also helps you develop your safeties, which is the position that LSU needs to develop probably the most on the defensive side of the ball. And then with Atkins, it's really interesting because, again, also, like you said, both guys with Louisiana connections. Atkins has even coached at Tulane. There's another Louisiana guy there for you. And Atkins is somebody who's only coached tight ends once before, but it seems like the thought process here is you've got some natural pass catchers there at tight end, especially Tre'Davious Green. Now you're bringing in a guy who's mostly been an offensive line coach. Let him develop them as blockers. LSU needs to get better inline blocking from the tight end position to really be able to run this offense. That's going to be a key thing there with him in that spot. And then also, like you said, the expertise he brings, having come from Florida State as your run game coordinator, he's able to add another perspective to that room. Maybe else you can work on its run schemes, an area where they were not very good last year running the football. And it'll be interesting to see if Alex Atkins can bring something to that to help you get better.
Wilson, appreciate the great info. Thanks so much for the time and have a good one, man.
Thank you, Wilson.
Thanks. Thanks, y'all. Have a good rest of your week.
All righty.
Wilson Alexander covering the LSU Tigers for the Advocate and Times-Picayune joining us there. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be right back with more, so stay tuned right after this on WWL. Ready for the big weekend in NOLA? Well, WWL's got your VIP tickets for three unforgettable events. It all starts Friday at Shaq's Funhouse. Also on Saturday, Sports Illustrated, The Party, brings the energy with Dom Dalla and Diplo. And Saturday, it's Guy Fieri's Flavortown tailgate with 20-plus incredible food experiences, plus live performances by Diplo and Flavor Flav. The best part about it, you can win two VIP tickets to the Ultimate Big Game Weekend. Enter now at WWL.com/contest. We'll be back with more as we close things out right here at the Morio Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso, right after this on WWL. Closing out Sports Talk here at the Convention Center, getting ready for day four tomorrow, Thursday action. I'm sure it'll be booming. I know we got an interview set up with Marcus Allen. Definitely looking forward to talking to him. And shame on me for not mentioning today, Mike. 8 years ago today, 28-3. It was the Super Bowl. The Atlanta Falcons coughing up that lead to the New England Patriots. We know who dats love that.
Oh, yeah, do they? And they're still making cakes with that on the top of it. That's unbelievable. But, yeah, man, one of the kind of memories of watching Arthur Blank on the sideline.
He was dancing.
Dancing,
right.
ready to get that trophy. And
not so fast.
Somebody snatched it. Somebody took it. Mandate. Yeah, way too much time for Brady.
For
way
Mike Dottillier, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great night, everybody. Take care, and we'll be talking tomorrow with more sports talk. Pelicans basketball at 870 a.m.